message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory to God forevermore.
All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the supernatural life. Thank you for the life of God that you are God. Oh, we are anointed of God. Him who established us is Christ, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Oh, in this we say thank you for the hope of immortality, for life eternal, for the superior kind of life that is above situation and circumstances, for the life unlimited. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for this. Now today again, our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be taught, to be led, and to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness. We set apart every superfluity of naughtiness, and we declare the truth we're going to hear today. We're not going to hear with our mind alone. As we listen, we'll bear it in heart, and we'll go and bear fruit of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I have a bigger amen? Amen. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 4, which is our anchor scripture quickly. Colossians 4. Colossians 4 and verse 15. The Bible says, Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, and he says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. So this guy had church in his house. And when his epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So we said all the letters written in the epistle primarily were written to the church, not an individual. Can you say that? They are written to the church. And so I began something in first service. I shared with them in first service that in order for you to get a maximum benefit of any gathering, of any organization, by the way, church is an organism and also an organization, then you have to know the key players so that you can know how to play well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ah, Miss Ozo, so good to see you. I love you. All right. So you have to know the key players so that you can know, all right, these key players, so that you can know how to interplay and get the best of it. So now, in the kingdom of God, I share with them in full service that the kingdom of God, there are three key players. And I showed them from the word of God how that Jesus used a parable, all right? Jesus was communicating spiritual truth to a people in a generation where they were operating the agrarian economy, all right? That means they are used to agriculture. Much of the people, over 60%, were into farming of some kind, some into animal husbandry. And that's why you notice that most of Jesus' parable, all right, are in that fashion. He always used those examples mostly because, you see, parable is from the word parabole. That means to throw along. It means to use what somebody is used to teach something that has a deeper spiritual meaning. It means to explain spiritual reality with natural day-to-day things that you can relate with. So Jesus was teaching them. He says, look, the kingdom of God is like unto a sower who goes to sow the seed. And I was sharing with you in the morning, I said, just even in Nigeria, they have what we call National Agricultural Seeds Council. I told them in full service that what they do is they ensure that people get the certified seed from the right quarters. They have a list of companies that they have accredited as certified to sell seeds. And I went further to explain to them in full service that from personal experience, I can tell you that even though Nigeria is producing so much foodstuff, the reason why most of our foodstuff don't make it to processing is because they are not quality enough. They are not meeting the required quality necessary for processing. Let me tell you, listen. There is something about in food processing company. I want you to pay attention. I just want to use what you can relate with. If they want milk, for example, all right, there is a quality. There's what we call quality assurance service. So because of that, they will have to start importing, because even though you are producing, you are not meeting the required standard for processing. So in the same vein, I mean, for example, I give them an example with the self-service, like for instance now, maize. They required maize for making certain quality of popcorns. They have to measure the alkalinity of the soil. The alkalinity is the measure of degree of, presence or absence of certain pH scale. They call it pH scale. So they try to know what is the degree of the soil in that level to be able to tell whether or not it is good, it's conducive for certain level of quality features they require from that seed. So that's how they get quality seeds. So I said all of that to make a point that just as it is in the physical, that to get quality output from any agrarian adventure, you have to ensure you have a good farmer, a skilled farmer. You have to ensure you have a good seed. A good seed. Then secondly, you have to ensure you have a good soil. The same thing applies in the kingdom of God. In Ecclesia, we're talking about the gathering of the called out ones. And there is a blessing attached to our gathering. But for you to partake, all right, and take advantage of all that is in the church of God, that God has placed in us, you have to know these key players and how they play and interplay. So in the first service, I spoke to them about the sower. So you can get the tip. I don't want to go there again. So this second service, I want to continue by also reading to us the same scripture. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark. I'm just going to do a simple line by line exegesis on it. Say after me, the sower, the seed, and the soil. So these are the three key players I mentioned to them in first service. And I said the sower is the preacher. The sower is the preacher. Don't buy into that wrong idea people have in the world today. They say, well, I don't need a pastor. I just need to read my Bible. Can't you see all them pastors and some bad pastors? All them pastors, they all just frost. I don't care. I don't worship my again. I'm just going to listen. This very same way you have fake monies, you've had fake monies before, never stopped you from having more money. In the same vein, just because there are some pastors in quotes, allegedly, that are said to be fake, does not mean there are no real pastors. And you don't have to lose faith in shepherds. You need them. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 16, he told the church in Corinth, he says, follow me, I beseech you. Paul was literally begging them that follow me. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, he even told them, he said, see, follow me and I will make you makers. I will make you fishers of men, rather. So your making is in following me. Someone say, well, that's Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I didn't follow no pastor. All them pastors, they men too, man. I'm going to follow God. And see, Jesus told us, like I shared with you last week, you see, your vertical relationship will always reflect in your horizontal relationship. You can't say you are following Christ and you're not following a pastor. It's not possible. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. In fact, to the church in Thessalonica, Paul told them in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, he says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord Jesus. And I told you last week that the word and there has a TSK principle in hermeneutics, the science of Bible interpretation. That and in Bible is not always a conjunct. For instance, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean blessed be God, separate person. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, another person. No, it's the same thing. And there is just a colon, which means that is. So when you say, blessed be God, and that means that he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing applies here. He says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. That means you became followers of us, that is, of the Lord Jesus. He now says, how? Verse 6. He says, by receiving the word from us, even though in affliction, yet with joy unspeakable, full of the Holy Ghost. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. So one basic way you follow is by receiving the word of God. The sower soweth the seed. Amen forevermore. We're going to have many of him soon. Amen forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen forevermore. Can you see Children Church is Oyeme Ruth? Are you ready for that? Good. Children Church, we're going to start from next week. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So we're getting all the necessary things. Make sure you remind me to talk to the hotel. We must start Children Church soon. Amen forevermore. All right. So the sower sows the seed, and the seed is the word of God. So those of you that, you better start having children now. Amen. My own is coming soon. Amen forevermore. I know you like that kind of thing. What was that? All right, let's go. So the seed is the word of God. The soil is the earth. And I'm talking about that now. But the next one I want to talk about is the seed. We've spoken about the sower in the morning, that you have to recognize the sower. You have to recognize the preacher. And there are certified preachers. And the way you know is John 3:34. How you know this real sower? He said, he who is sent of God speaks the word of God. So it is by the seed. Let me tell you, without the seed, the sower has no ministry. So you even recognize the sower by the seed. The quality of seed that he sows is how you will know a sower. So if the preacher is not preaching the real seed of God's word, he's not a preacher. So this particular one we're talking right now is the most important player in the kingdom, the seed. Someone say the seed. The seed. Say it again. The seed. Say it again. The seed. Open to Luke 8 verse 1. Let's say it. Thank you, media. Luke 8. And verse 11. Luke 8 and verse 11. Are you there? Come on, if you are there, shout hallelujah. Can we all read together in unison? Luke 8 verse 11. 3, 2, go. Now the parable is this. The seed. Say it again. The seed is what? Say it again. Hallelujah. I wish I had enough time to explain what a seed is to you. See, a seed has in it all it requires to reproduce its kind. So the word of God, listen, the word of God is the thoughts, the mind, the will, the emotions of God. The word of God is God himself. So when the seed of God's word is sowed into your life, it has the potency to replicate the God life, the God kind of things, the God kind of result in your life. So now that's why the centrality of God's kingdom is around the seed, the quality of the seed, the word of God. And let me tell you, and I want to run ahead of myself, but I want to say it right now. I'm still going to show you. What Satan is after in the believer is the word. You know, I've told you before in Romans 15 verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through comfort of scriptures might have hope. That means there were things that were written in the word of God for us to learn from. Example, the things that Satan said were written in God's word. Why? So that we can learn patterns. We can see that this is how Satan operates. So you shouldn't be in the dark about how Satan operates. For example, in Genesis, we saw how he operates. He came to Eve by saying, as God said. So Satan, the word Satan means opposer. So what he does is he comes to suggest something that is contrary to the word of God in your life. So he comes to question the authenticity of God's word. That's what he does. So he comes to Eve, he said, had God said that you should not eat. You see, he always come and, you know, God said the day they will eat of it, they will surely die, right? Come on, talk to me. Yes, what did Satan say? Satan said, no, you will not surely die. He didn't change his gimmicks. 2,000 years later, when Jesus came on board, what happened? He said the same thing. John the Baptist was there baptizing people into water like this. You know, he was abusing them. You, this whitewashed sepulcher, bury your head. He was putting them in water. He said, by the way, there's somebody coming, you know, as he's coming, I will show you this guy. Come, put all this. So you, these Pharisees, you came too, eh? You, these bypass. Come. And he's putting them in water. There's somebody coming after very soon, no? Eh? I will show you the person. He's the one you guys will follow, eh? When I see him, he's the one whose shoes I can't even untie. Then the Son of Man shows up. He says, ah, this is he. He says, no, I can't baptize you. He says, no, for righteousness, just let's fulfill righteousness, baptize me. So as he put Jesus in water, now pay attention. This is the mystery of baptism. As he put Jesus in water, he was immersed. Go and get our tape, Faith in the Operation of God, all right? Part 2, I explained this. All right, as he put Jesus in water, it was John's way of preaching about what happened to you at salvation. Water baptism was not meant to be a requirement for salvation. It was a physical explanation of a spiritual reality that took place when you heard the gospel and believed. So when John the Baptist put Jesus in water, when Jesus was coming out, now that water was to represent grave, death, like Jonah. Jesus was, you know, Jesus said just like Jonah, so that the Son of Man spent 3 days, right? So as Jesus was put into water, in the same, it was said that he died. On rising up from the water, the Holy Ghost came upon him. And then there was voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. So in the same vein, you and I, that was just a salvation story. That when you got born again, what happened was, it is as though you died with Christ. You were buried with him and you rose up. And when you rose up, you rose up as a son. And then instantly you received the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I did a lot of exegesis on that. Go and get it on our Telegram at CCC Global. You see it on Telegram. Download it. I explain it very well. But here's the point. Imagine Jesus coming down from water, Jordan, and the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Bible says, then was Jesus charged into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. Instantly. And when he got into the wilderness, Satan showed up. And what was the first thing Satan would say to him? He says, if thou be the Son of God, turn stone to bread. So he has not changed in his gimmicks. So this is the real deal in the kingdom, the seed. Look, don't be moved by cosmetics of churches. Cosmetics are good. We're going to get there. Amen. I said amen. Amen. But see, let not that be the primary reason why you choose church. I told them in 4 service that you don't choose church because of proximity. You don't go to a church that is near you. You go to a church that is near the Bible. You don't say, ah, that church is far. That's why a guy once came to attend Bible study here from Kaduna. So don't be fooled. Amen forevermore. So you see, this is the big deal in the kingdom. The seed. The seed. The quality of seed sown is very important. And Jesus was very concerned about this. Open to Mark 4. Hear what Jesus said in Mark 4. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Mark 4. Are you there? Look at verse 24. What did he say in verse 24? He said, he also said unto them, pay attention to what you hear. You know what? Let's do some preaching together today. Talk to the person next to you. Say, pay attention to what you hear. I often tell people, anybody that has access to your mind has access to your life. That's why it is tomfoolery for anyone to assume that even though he is a good person, as long as he's roaming with bad people, it doesn't matter. Let me be honest with you. The Bible said, it says, do not be deceived. Evil association corrupts good man. Don't be deceived. Pastor Paul was with me over just yesterday. All right, we were running interscatter about a particular lady we used to know. She used to be on fire. I mean, she once prophesied that we heard her prophesy, good Jesus babe. Got into the wrong association. Now she's messed up. You know when somebody is messed up? But thank God, like the prodigal son, we're able to retrace her back. And that's why you have to have a good shepherd. See, I've been pastoring for 11 years. All right. And I can tell you, most people have been pastoring are young people, students like you. And I can tell you that every person that whined bad, It was either they got into an association with folks who were doing those wrong things before they joined them. Like a young girl just came to school in 100 level, didn't know left to right, got into the hostel. Unfortunately, the few first persons she was going to start relating with were into maybe sugar daddy and all that. And then before she knows, she started doing it. That has always been the trend in my 11 years of pastoring. So I know what I'm saying. Association has a lot to do. It has a lot to do. So the seed is the word of God. And this word of God, God's plan is he wants to build himself into you. Because like I told you, a seed has the potency to produce its kind. God's word and his word, God and his word, excuse me, are inseparables. They are one and the same. So receiving God's word is receiving his intent, receiving his way of doing things. So he wants to build himself into you. So when you are full of the word, all right, it influences your actions. It influences how you do what you do, when you do what you do, where you do what to do, and with whom you do what you do. That's why David said in Psalm 105 verse 130, he says, thy word, Psalm 119, verse 130. He says, thy word are a lamp to my foot and a light to my path. So God's word is the pathfinder. With God's word, Mrs. Atukba, good to see you, ma. So that means with God's word, you can't stumble. God's word is light to your path. So you have to place premium on the word. So this is the seed of God's word in the kingdom. You see, and if you don't get this right, you may not appropriate all the blessings of Ecclesia, the gathering of the called out ones. These key players, the sower, the seed, you must go for the seed. In fact, the seed is what validates the ministry of the sower. No seed, no preacher. That's why when David was crying in Psalm 67 verse 2, send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. God didn't reply because there was no gospel. All they had was a promise. But you see, when Jesus died and rose up, he says, as my Father sent me, so sent I you. John 20:21. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So the gospel, the word of God, is the seed of God. Can you see that? So you have to understand this thing. Open to that verse 17. Let's go down to verse 17. Go up to verse 17. I want you to see what Satan is really after so that you will know. Are you there? Verse 17. He was going to talk now. He was going to explain to us about it. He says, verse 17, but he does not sink deep into them and they don't last long. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversary, what is it? Your strength is small. So you see, King James says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when the affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Someone say, for the word's sake. For the word's sake. Say it again. Why does affliction or persecution arise? Come on, talk to me. Listen, I can tell you authoritatively from God's word that all the things you're going through that looks, all the billows of issues around you, circumstances, they have just one aim. The aim is to steal the word from you. It's to steal the conviction you have from you. That's why you must realize that as a child of God, you are a soldier. You must stand fast in the word of God. So it is the world that's persecution arose for. Amen forevermore. Look at verse 18. He now says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So these are the things you have to be careful of, so that when you hear the word, you don't let deceitfulness of riches, you don't let, lust of other things to choke the word. and becometh unfruitful. So it is possible to sow good seed and yet it becomes unfruitful. Why? Because of the soil. I'll talk about that next week. Because of the soil. And what are those things? He says, cares of this world. My uncle, my brother, everything is on me. You see, the cares of this world. That's even for legitimate things. Some even stretch it out of proportion. They want to go overboard. Their roommate just bought a new car or a new, even as little as a new bag. He wants to get it too. So he's worried. That has been the major, it has now become a god. It has become a prayer point. It has become their thoughts. It has become their confession. It has become everything. It has become a god. The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. The lust of other things. Choke the world and it becomes unfruitful. So what the devil seeks is the word. Go back up to verse 14. Let me show you that again. Verse 14, Mark 4. Verse 14. Thank you. He says, the sower soweth the word. Next, verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, what happened? Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown. So what Satan is after is the word. Is the word. You see that? So he comes to steal the word. So he says, look at it. Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word away that was sown in their heart. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received with gladness, verse 17, had no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, afterward when afflictions or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. We've said it before, right? Yes, say for the word's sake. Say it again. Say it again. Persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Immediately they were offended. See, in ecclesia, in church, the moment you start seeing offense, I learned it from Pastor, from Brother Kenneth Copeland. The moment you start seeing yourself, start feeling, you feel cheated, or you feel that you're not treated well. See, that's Satan is on your case. Because what he wants to do is, he wants to take you out until he will help you out through the exit door. Offense. Don't give Satan that opportunity. Amen forevermore. Amen. I said amen forevermore. Amen. So, these are the things that choke the word. You know, there are those who, when they come to church, their first access, the way to access a church, I'm not talking about access now, I'm talking of access. The way to access a church to them is, they are looking, where are they? Are the ACs? Oh, these are 1.5. He's just looking. Ah, even the pastor is using plastic chair. Ah. It's not a posh church, Joe. It's not a posh church. So he's looking for posh church until he got posh nonsense. Can you see that? So that's not how to rate church. All those things are beautiful because they enhance the ministry of the word. But primarily, the word of God is the focus. So pay attention more on the word. Be more concerned about the word. What can you make out with this word coming to you? That should be your priority. These are the key players, the sower, the seed. Now, let me ask you. How many of you, okay, let me use myself as an example. I've told you this before, that I grew up among some of the richest people in southwestern Nigeria. I mean, when you have Obasanjo's lawyer as your neighbor, present governor of Ondo State was my neighbor, Akeredolu. I mean, these are people, the owner of a university was my neighbor, Lee City University in Ibadan. These are the people I was living with. So when your own dad is still driving a smoky 504, you have a mate, a friend, who is riding RAV4. You know what I'm saying? So now, thank you. Now, how many of you, all right, you've been to your rich friend's house Like, I remember the first time I went to this friend's house, you know. I think I was, you know, we went to play basketball with them, and then you finish playing basketball, and you're like, I'm thirsty. Will you follow me home? Let's take water together. And then they open the gates, and you're like, heaven on earth. Like 11 SUVs. 1, 2, 3, 11. I'm not talking about 2000. I'm talking of 2006, 2006, 2005, 2006. SUVs. Now, I didn't get home that day and say, daddy, I want to be adopted into the family of Mr. X and Y. I want to renounce this family today. No, but that's what many people do. Say, that church, the word of God is good, deal. Everything is bought. You see, they don't have AC. They don't have church bus to come and carry us. Yeah. So what you look out for? What? 13 minutes. I have to run now. So the word of God is what you have to make sure is what you're looking out for. Some of them say the word of God is what I'm out for. So what do I do with the word? Open to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, then I close. I have just 13 minutes. Yes, now. We are time conscious now. Those days of everlasting gospel. Those days I will preach for 2 hours, 40 minutes. That time Pastor Paul will stand up, stretch, sit down again. Take notes. Amen forevermore. Look at Proverbs 4. This is the responsibility of the word that I want you to do. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Are you there? It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Next. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. 22. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Can you see that? Now look at verse 23. Can we all read 23 together? 3, 2, go. Keep their heart with all diligence, for out of... Now, the word keep here is from the Hebrew word natsar. N-A-T-S-A-R. It's a military term used for a guard man. The picture is like defense between two countries or two nations. Then the soldier there is on the fence walking around with his gun with him and with ammunition, of course. So he's out there. He's doing shoot to kill to anything that is not right that wants to enter into the other side. Do you understand? So the Hebrew word is natsar. That means, thank you. NLT says guard. Can you say the word guard? That means he's telling you with all the energy you can muster, guard your heart. Guard your heart. That means you will not amount to anything like today's devotional. You will not amount to anything. Thought like that is come, guard your heart. Man, all men has come. It is hard to find a good husband. You guard your heart. Even though if it is African magic saying it, you guard your heart. Are you listening to me? Man, men are polygamous in nature. All men are like that. They have different... Guard your heart. Good morning, class. I've been teaching this course since 1989. And there's never been A. If you are doing well, maybe you have a C. Guard your heart. Amen forevermore. Amen. You guard your heart. You see, there's something we call, there's an experiment we did then those days to prove permeability of certain substrates. You can use pawpaw or something. So it's just an explanation on osmosis. All right? Now, if a medium is semi-permeable, that means it doesn't permit everything. It only permits certain things. So you should use the word of God as the permeability substratum or substrate that you use to shield, to sieve what you accept. No matter how good it may sound to the hearing. Let me give you an instance. Growing up for me in a Yoruba-dominated state, we see movies where they portray some kind of witch as good witch. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? But God is against witchcraft. So what do? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how good it is. Which is which? Amen forevermore. So you guard your heart with all diligence. All diligence. That means all the energy you can muster. So he has given you three instructions here from what we just read now. Let's go back there. Proverbs 4. I'm teaching you just simple things so that you can use for your life. Go to verse 21. All right. He says, go to verse 20. Number one, he says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my saying. So number one responsibility, give attentive ear to the word. Give God's word your attentive ear. You know, you can be in a place, but you are mind absent. So, for you to make the best of ecclesia when we gather, choose to give attention to the world. Don't be distracted. If you are like me, if I'm coming to church with my friend and it's in my party that we gist, I'll say, babe, you know what? Go there. I'll come here. After service, you can come back again. And the pastor cracks a joke, everybody laughs. Don't crack your own again. Everybody, and of course, I'm not saying you should do like this all the time throughout. But, for, I mean, some people, they don't laugh. I don't know. That's why. All right. If I crack a joke, you laugh. Immediately I say, okay, let's go into the world. You ready again? I crack a joke, you laugh. I said, so turn your Bible again. You ready again? You are ready again. But your friend is now telling you another joke. You say, you guard your heart. So you give God's word your attentive ear. That's why I think ushers, we need to start doing that now. If you see two friends coming, you separate them. The idea is we want to help you get the best out of our gathering. These are the key players, the sower, the word. And we are giving you responsibility on what to do with the word. Number one is what? You give God's word your attentive ear. Your attentive ear. You know some people, they are body controlled. Nothing is happening. They are sitting down. I don't know why some people, maybe their buttocks used to hurt them when they sit down. Any small thing, they just hear that voice. Stand up. Stand up. Go. Go. And then it will just go. Just like that. That's Satan. You know, many of you think Satan will come to you in red and black clothes. No. You know some people, they don't have any reason to go to the restroom. They just, the Bible calls them busybodies. Don't be body controlled. Attentive ear. The word wants to start preaching. You have your notepad. You are attentive. You are catching the word. You see, far beyond listening to the spoken words, you are catching the spirit behind the word. So conviction is rising up from within you because the word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are, this is not a lecture class. I'm speaking spirit. All right. Your spirit is taking them. You see, you are focusing your attention. Some people, they just walk around. Any small thing, just want to walk around. You want to show us your new dress. Well done. So number one point is you give attentive ear to the word. Look at, let's go to verse 21. He says, let them what? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That means you give God's word a steadfast look. You see, it's a faith exercise. It's an exercise of faith. You give God's word a steadfast look. Your eyes are fixed on the word, for they look unto him, all right? And their face was what? Was lightened, and they were not ashamed. For the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So steadfast look there metaphorically speaks about you are ready to receive. Steadfast look. And look at it, it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. How do you keep God's word in your heart? Meditation. So the third point is, give God's word your meditative heart. Meditate on the word. A lot of Christians have not learned to meditate. Say, but pastor, I don't know to meditate. I ain't going to teach me. Listen, if you can learn, if you know how to worry, you can also meditate. Worrying is just abused meditation. And get our tape, The Art of Meditation, on our Telegram, CCC Global. I did a powerful teaching on that. Bible meditation is not the same thing as yoga, mind travel. That's not the same thing. We're not doing mind travel. No. Or mind blank. Do like this. Close your mind. Close your mind. Travel. That is, you are inviting demons. Because that's the meditation they do in the world. In Buddhism, Shintoists do it. Islam do it. That's not our own kind of meditation. Joshua 1:8, he tells us how Bible meditation begins. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So that means you'll be saying it. So biblical meditation begins with speaking. The Lord is the strength of my life. In him I live, I move. I'm blessed on every side. I'm mounted up with wings as the eagles. I run, I don't weary. The Lord has become my salvation. I am blessed going out, blessed coming in. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. I am a believer, therefore I have what I say. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, you are talking scripture that way. The Lord is my shepherd, not headsman. He's not a headsman. Doesn't disturb people's farm. Mm-mm. He's my shepherd. So a shepherd, he keeps me somewhere and he goes looks for the food. He doesn't carry me about looking for the food. Mm-mm. He keeps me somewhere. In fact, he makes me lie down in the green pasture. He doesn't carry me about to destroy people's farm. He's not headsman, he's my shepherd. So what do I do then? I don't worry. I will not want. So I meditate. I don't worry. The Lord is my shepherd. So I cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. Are you seeing that? You are meditating. It is called internal self-communication. Is a communion, your spirit and the word of God. It's called, you must have that time. Some call it quiet time. Where you are meditating the word, it says keep it in the midst of your heart. That means in the core of your being, there's a communication going on. Your heart is speaking, is contemplating on the word, is contemplating on the word until it superimposes the word on the mind. Where you don't have any other way to think but the word way. So the word of God becomes to you the lens with which you see things, with which you consider things, with which you look at things, with which you consider things. You see things, consider things, see things, consider things, see things, consider things with the word of God. It has become to you a lens with which you see. So you meditate on the word. I wish I had enough time to explain on meditation, but get that tip. The Art of Meditation is in our Telegram, CCC Global. I explained that there are three steps to meditation. And it's gotten from the Hebrew word for meditation, agah, H-A-G-A-H. And it means to mutter, to ponder, and to roar. You begin with pondering. You begin with mutter, rather. You begin to speak under your breath. You are speaking that way under your breath. You get the scriptures. You can begin by first putting it on a slate, on a printed paper, all right? Or you can put it on your screen. Then you begin to say it. You begin to talk it. That means you are muttering. Then from there, as you are muttering, because your mind is at the mercy of what you say, so your mind will take thoughts from what you are saying. Because sound is powerful than thoughts. Are you listening to me? Has it ever happened you are listening to a tape or a message or a song? You put the song off, but the song is still playing in your head. Yes. Come on, talk to me. Yes. That's because your mind is at the mercy of sound. So as you talk that way, your mind will pick thoughts from what you're saying. So from muttering, you go to ponder. That means you are pondering. You are thinking upon. As you think upon, for example, let me give you an instance. I'm showing you practical. For example, you want to travel. And of a sudden, you are seeing an imaginative picture of an accident in your front. How many of you have experienced that? I mean, you are literally seeing that you're going to have an accident. You don't just wave it off in your head. Mm-mm. You quote scripture. The Lord is my God and my salvation. I am an heir of salvation, according to Hebrews 1:14. Therefore, angels ministers for me. They guard me in all my ways. Psalms 91. In my pathway, there is no death. I do not dash my foot against stones. Are you listening to me? As you are saying it that way, you are saying it that way, you begin to ponder, you begin to think. You get to a point, as you ponder on that scripture, you will not know what will happen. You will start roaring. Now, what roaring does is roaring drowns every doubt, every unbelief. It brings you to 100% persuasion. You can come out of meditation and say, Satan, you are a liar. That time you are not talking to belief. You are talking out of belief. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how to meditate. That's how to meditate. For ministers here, even as a Christian, you have to know this school of power. Alright? You want to go and minister to the sick, you tell yourself, I'm anointed. How Jesus anointed Jesus, how God anointed Jesus, how God anointed Elijah Amuson with the Holy Ghost and with power. He goes about healing all there that were sick and oppressed of the devil. I'm anointed. God anointed me with the Holy Ghost and with power. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I'm anointed of God to heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cleanse the lepers. Wow. I have this treasure in Eden. You're talking that way. You get to a point. You meditate to a point and then you say, Satan, where are you now? Then you put on your suit and you are out there. Discharging the power of God. You're just dispensing the power of God. That's how to go about it. So you see, you must learn to meditate. This is how you take a hold and maximize Christian gatherings. The word that is taught, the seed, that is the big deal in the kingdom. That is the real big deal. So you set apart every superfluity of naughtiness. You receive with meekness the engrafted word, James 1:21. You humble yourself. You hear the word. Don't approach the word of God with a preconceived notion. Don't assume you know anything. Just pay attention. Listen. Take notes. Guard that word. Say it again to yourself. That is the seed of God's word. And as you take it that way, all right, you won't let anything to take the word away from you. You will not let anything to get the word from you. You get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God, the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. The word implanted already, you guard it with all diligence. You say, well, but pastor, I'm going through some stuff. Listen, look up. Didn't you see what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4? Now, notice what it says. It says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount guard over. So listen, look at that scripture, those three verses. What does it tell you? It tells you that the problem is not a problem to God. You are the problem. Notice he says, look up. In trying to fix the challenge you are bringing to him, he starts by fixing your heart. You don't get the point. So, God is more concerned, because the need is nothing before God. God is more concerned about you. So, he now tells you, be anxious. In other words, get rid of anxiety. He says, as for your needs, make your request known. And look at how he replies the request too. He says, he will still give you peace. So, listen, God is more concerned in your mental health than your physical abundance. Because prosperity, listen, look up. 3 John verse 2. He says, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Once there is that state of no disturbance in your soul, all right, that is prosperity of the soul. So nothing in the physical can move you. So the word of God has become your anchor. The word of God has become your anchor that you hold on to. You are not moved. Nothing shake you. You have become untouchable. You have become unshakable. You have become indestructible. So you go headlong in life with conviction of victory. You know that victoria is ascertained. Amen forevermore. That's the Christian faith. That's the Christian walk. It's a walk of faith. Look up. Let me just conclude with this. Listen. The walk of faith is the discipline. And the discipline of faith is simple. It is you aligning what you have believed in God's word with what you are thinking and what you are saying. Do you understand what I just said? The point where what you believe from God's word is in consonance with what you are thinking and what you are saying. If you are saying A, but your head believes B, that is contradiction. So there must be an alignment. You believe you are preserved of God, so you can't be thinking accident. Do you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You believe the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want, you believe it, then you can't be talking lack. So your speech and your mind and what you have believed in your heart from God's word must be in sync. That is the discipline of faith. And that's why one of the ways you know a mature Christian is from how they speak. James 3 verse 2. He says, if any man offend not in words, the same is a matured man. Perfect man is the same thing as matured man. Able to bridle his whole body. That means if you want to know a babe, he talks anyhow. My headache has come again. This is my pain again. I don't know. My malaria. It's been long. I've been having this. My malaria. Your malaria? Do you? Who gave it to you? It's a training. Man, baby, this food is killing me. You don't want to die. Man, babe, I'm trying to go. I'm dying to go, man. Dying to go. Man, laugh won't kill me, die. You see, you have to patiently and consistently remove those words from your diction. I know it might take time, but be deliberate about it. Train your mind. Help your mind to know that you always mean what you say, and you always say what you mean. The Bible says, a wholesome tongue, Psalms 15 verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, Sheba, he says, perverseness, that means inconsistency, therein causes breach in the spirit. That means you talk fear, you talk faith, the spiritual realm is confused about you. That's what he's saying. Angels are like, talk now, and then you talk fear now. Oh, then you talk faith again. Should we take this guy serious? Don't you know the Bible says that angels, they hearken to the voice of his word. Psalms 103 verse 20. It says they hearken to the voice of his word. And Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? So angels, some of you think when you were small, little angel. That thing that asks, that's not angel, that's Nollywood angel. Angels don't have wings. Only one kind of angel has wings. It's called cherubs. And they don't come down. They cover the mercy seat. They are like the step-down transformer. Alright? Angels are huge. You see them, all the people that saw angels in scriptures, they passed out. And the Bible says they excel in strength. Two angels destroyed a whole city. And guess what? Jesus on the cross said he has right to call forth 12 legions. A legion is 6,000. And guess what? You are co-heir with him. So you have to, that was what Elisha prayed for the servant Gehazi. Say, Master, the Syrian king, they surrounded us. He says, shut up. He says, Lord, open his eyes. And the Bible says, when God opened his eyes, he saw chariots of angels, chariots of fire. See, you are protected beyond what you can see. But listen up, but do you know what? You can break that bridge with your own words. A man called Joab, he was holding the mercy seat like this, holding the mercy on, and he still died because he spoke wrongly. So in the presence of God, even despite how much of arsenal of protection you have, if you speak inconsistently, you are going to experience what you are saying. So talk in line with what you believe. For me, for example, now, if you ask me, do you have, Pastor Elijah, please, I need my onions or my bread. I need to go to market. I don't say, I don't have. It has finished. Nothing finished in my hands. The first command God gave man, he says, multiply, have dominion, replenish. Nothing finished in my hands. I'm alive to God. Hey, guy, you got some money there? There's no cash on me. That's what I'm saying. You see, as you begin to talk that way, some people will say, he talks proud, he'd like to deceive himself. Well, ask yourself, do you choose to please human beings, or to please the world? Jesus, someone said, somebody will look like a madman. Excuse me. Jesus was a madman too. Jesus spoke to wind. He spoke to wind. He spoke to sea. He spoke to tree. Tree. He says, no man eat of you anymore. He spoke to tree. So you speak to situations. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and he will not doubt in his heart, he shall have what he says. So the word of God that you have digested, that you have received, that is in you, that you have absorbed into your spirit, that you have maintained upon, that you have kept in your heart, that becomes your immediate response in the day of adversity. So when anxiety comes, the word comes out. Situation shows what? The word comes out. You respond with the word. You become word automated. You live by the word. Talk by the word. Live by the word. Act the word. You are a word unto legs. You are word. You have become the word himself. You are the word unto legs walking. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are supernatural. You are supernatural. The word came to Mary and said, listen, blessed be Mary. Blessed art thou among women. Just a word. And the word entered into her and became flesh. The word. And look at what the Bible says in Luke 1, 35. It says, blessed be unto her. For there shall be what? Performance of things which she has believed. I prophesy, every good thing said of you that you have believed from the word of God, right now is the performance. Amen. Say after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I nullify every wrong word that I have said about myself. From today, I speak in consonance with God's word. Therefore, I speak now. I am blessed. I am anointed. I am higher. I'm anointed. You are anointed. Rise on your feet. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Glory to God forevermore. As the nations come to me, they receive answers from my lips. I am shining as a house on the hills. Hey, my greatness cannot be hidden. Pastor Sandra, help me. It's beyond my wildest dream what the Lord is doing. My reality, it's
my reality.
Yeah, lift your hands, everybody. Come on.
It's me on my wildest dream.
Yeah.
Lord, Lord, this do it. My reality.
Yeah.
My reality. There's an overflow.
Yeah.
Abundance of favor. It's a new level.
You believe that? Come on, say it.
It's a new level.
Yeah. Come on.
There's an overflow. Walking in abundance.
Come on, say it.
Moving with us.
No more delay. Come on, say it.
Favor.
You believe it? Come on, say it.
Walking in abundance. Moving with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I am favored. Say it's a new
in this truth forever in Jesus' name. Will somebody give the Lord a shout of praise?
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.